Welcome to Kingdom by Ollie Francis. Episode 3, Half Foot. The dew of the Greatlands came heavy as rain. The long grass at the edge of the copse was bent under its weight, the long stems broken like trees after a storm. Everything was soaked, though the skies had been clear when Harfoot had woken from her dream. The fox had crept from the shadow of the rock under which her family had dozed the night away, and made her way to the edge of the trees while it was still dark. She knew there would be guards ready to intervene should she stray too far from the protection of the trees, but she needed to see the world beyond the tree line. She needed to be sure it was still there. The stars had been bright, and the light they cast had been enough for her to see a half-day's walk in any direction, the gentle grass hills pale and empty. She had stayed there, on the border between wood and grassland, watching the sky bleed red and lighten until the sun crept above the distant crags of Cold Mountain and slipped down into the valley below, wide and rolling. In the breaking light of dawn, the world had begun to seem bigger. The starlight had given her only outlines of the far hills, an unearthly semblance of what they had been on the journey the day before. In that narrow starlight, it had been all too easy to believe her father's songs about the ghosts and valley spirits that inhabited the place at night. The flat world made it possible to believe anything. But now the hills had depth. The sun brought with it deep shadows and highlights that capped the hillsides, warming the dew and coating the hills with a fur of mist. The world was real now. Her dreams were not. Her brother came softly enough that she did not hear until he stood next to her. He lay down, and the two of them looked out upon the landscape for a heartbeat or two before she acknowledged his presence. "Sister," he signed. "Didn't mean to startle you." She didn't reply. The both of them knew he was the more stealthy, but she would swim in the river before she admitted it. "The sunrise," she signed instead. "It's beautiful." He gave a grunt of pleasant agreement, but she could hear his self-satisfaction in his tone. "I found where we're going," she signed, moving her snout in the direction of the shadow of Cold Mountain. 2 days' walk below its peak was the border of Highwood, the great tree wall, stretching like a scar along the forest edge. "Highwood," he signed, "a forest of traitors." "I hope you're not talking about our king," she signed. "He's not my king until his mark's on my fur." Harfoot glanced over to the guards that lay watching from the shadows, finally visible in the morning light. They all bore the mark of her father on their hides, all of them trusted warriors and advisers. Only the strongest had been chosen to accompany the Applewood foxes to Highwood. But there was always the chance that someone would defect. It was a long journey home, and the three-horned stag would reward any animal with a mark of higher rank if they were to bring him news of treachery, especially from the son of a Bloodwood lord who had already waited so long to receive the mark of the new king. "I believe that is the intention of this journey," she signed, clear enough that any watcher from the wood could see. Breakcover grunted in annoyance. "Father wants you back at the den," he signed. "It's time to leave." "You can tell him I'm coming." "Why are you out here so early?" "I wanted to see the hares," she signed.
"And did you?"
"No." Harfoot scratched at the dirt where she lay. A beech sapling was pushing through the grass, only visible because the dew had weighed down the blades around it. She cleared a few of the strands, giving it more access to the light. Her brother lay on the grass beside her, soaking his fur. He watched her clear the ground around the sapling and clear the stem of unwanted buds. It would grow straight and tall. "You had another dream," the creature with dead eyes. No, she lied, her knowledge of green masonry for saplings exhausted on the little beech sprout. Her brother huffed affectionately, and she felt him send her an image of their journey so far. The long road leaving Applewood, the unsettling exposure of the Greatlands, the 2 days of travel since they last saw a tree with the mark of the bloodwood on its trunk. She understood his inference. It was not just their father who was finding the journey difficult. The hunger alone was enough to set the mind wandering, especially for someone like her. But it wasn't hunger. It had been like this since they had entered the Greatlands. Nobody wanted to travel among the ghosts at night, so they travelled during the day, resting at a scattering of small outposts along the way. But the dark hours had brought Harfoot no rest. "We can send a few of the guards off to hunt," Breakcover signed. "There must be some animal here without a mark. Maybe there's a family of squirrels that have just had young that we could take." "It's not hunger bite," she signed. "I know," he signed. Her brother was trying to be kind, reassuring. And he might have been right, once. There was indeed a time when the unmarked might have hidden in that copse for a few months, free of the lore of any bloodwood. Such settlements rarely lasted long. Without a bloodwood tree, the inhabitants would always turn on each other, even before the first case of hunger blight set in. But the place that would soon be known as Smallwood seemed populated only with a few single greenmasons from the Three Horns Forest, making their way there for a few days to tend the great beech stump before hunger drove them back to the bloodfruit of their home. "There are no families here," she signed. "We don't know that. If the bloodwood branch takes, any family already here could assert their right to it. A new bloodwood tree could be quite a prize. The Threehorn isn't going to drag a branch from the blood oak all this way and graft it onto the old beech stump just to let a bunch of squirrels claim it as their own," she signed, with a hum of annoyance. "True," he signed. "But maybe the Great Bear is hiding up there with them, waiting for his chance to return." They shared a picture of Greyclaw clinging to the thin trunks of the little copse's beech trees, reduced to the size of a squirrel and scampering his way among the leaves. Harfoot felt herself wheeze with laughter. A bear, with its face smashed by an invisible paw. She jolted to her feet. Her brother rose slowly beside her, scanning the hillside. "Did you see something?" he sighed. "Another bear, much bigger than the first. Its lips blue, its fur white, blood pooling around its eyes."
"Harfoot?"
"The creature."
"Harfoot, stop that noise."
"Above them both."
She leapt back with a whimper, her shoulder stinging. "Control yourself," signed Breakcover, small enough that she knew the sign was meant just for her.
"You bit me," she signed.
"You were crying like a pup,"
he signed, eyeing the shadows of the wood. "You didn't have to bite me."
Breakcover snorted her away.
"Come," he signed. "Father's waiting."
He slipped back into the shade of the trees. Harfoot saw several shapes among the trees peel off and move in the same direction. There would be others waiting for her to follow him so they could accompany her back to the family. She turned back to the vast ocean of grass, bright and green. The first meadow flowers of spring scattered blues and yellows across its surface. The sun was high above Cold Mountain now. The forest of Highwood was still in its shadow, the mighty tree wall, a dark line upon a greater darkness. If they left soon, they could easily reach it by nightfall.
"It was just a dream," she told herself.
The Greatlands were full of them, carried on the backs of hares from bloodwood to bloodwood. Her maid, Old White Eye, used to sing such things to her before bed, dancing the song of Run Right the Swift, the first to bring dreams to those who ate from the bloodwood trees.
"It was just a dream,"
she told herself again, as she dragged herself back to the shelter of the hilltop wood. But dreams weren't supposed to happen when you were awake. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story is going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.